A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Well, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the final word after Liverpool beat Wolves by 1-0. 2019 ended with another win, and I am joined by Ross, by Adam and by John to discuss this one. Ross, pretty decent year all told for us.
Amazing year. One that we'll look back on in years and probably admire a little bit more. It's hard to do so right in the midst of it, but another win yesterday wasn't the best performance, but I think we're just used to that now. I speak to my dad quite a bit, and he grew up obviously 70s and 80s Liverpool. And it's just, you expect them to win at that point. I think I'm getting to that with Liverpool. Without sounding arrogant, I'm just thinking, no, this will be fine. We know what we're doing now.
Yeah, that's it. Like, and yesterday, you picked up a ticket late, didn't you, Adam?
Yeah, about like 2:30 or something.
Really, yeah?
It might have been a bit before that, maybe 1:30 or something, but it was late in the day. I'd been just begging it for a ticket all week. And it looks like I've got the same one for Sheffield United now as well. So, yeah.
Did you enjoy the game?
yeah, I enjoyed winning the game. But it was a lethargic, I don't want to use the word lethargic actually, it was a professionally slow performance. Like, I feel like we were like, look, we really haven't got much in the tank at all here. I feel like we had a car and we ran out of petrol on like the 60th minute, but then we had enough people in the car to push it for the last half an hour, do you know what I mean? I'm just happy to just watch us win games. I like it when we play like we did against Leicester and blow teams away. But if we win every game 1-0, performing like that till the end of the season, I don't give a fuck anymore.
That's it. We did this last December, actually, didn't we? I think we won 8 of 8 last December, and we were unbelievable. But now it's 10 wins on the spin, John. During the busiest period of the year, when Klopp didn't really rotate towards the end of December, as he puts a really strong side out, not loads of rotation, we've still got enough to beat Wolves.
Yeah, I think he rotated well enough throughout the month, didn't he, really? He rested the key people in midfield at key times, and I think that probably made a difference in the end, so that when he got to the big games towards the end, he was able to bring out the big guns and play them when we probably needed them most, the truth be known.
I also think we're forgetting at the minute that we are now really suffering with injury problems, and there's not much scope for rotation anyway. Like Shaqiri, as we were saying off camera before, didn't make the bench yesterday. Chamberlain's now out. Fabinho's out. There's not a lot of rotation to be done within our squad. And obviously that'll change in a few weeks when they start coming back and certain players start, like, well, we know one player's coming in, don't we? Mm-hmm. In Minamino. So once they're all back, I think Klopp will go back to chopping and changing things every now and then. I just don't think, I think his hands are a bit tired at the minute anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. Like, I mean, he could have definitely played Origi yesterday, couldn't he? That was the thing. But I think Klopp, if he can, will always just play the front three.
Yeah.
And he was able to do that, wasn't he? I mean, look, before we talk a little bit more about the game, though, the gold badges thing, the Premier League allowed us to wear the gold badges. It looked fantastic. They're going to be worth quite a bit, those match worn kits, because there's not going to be any other Premier League games where they're allowed to wear it, are they? So if you get one of those match worn ones, savour it and sell it if you want to in about 50 years' time, because they're going to be worth an absolute bomb.
Be Adam Lallard only short of cash in 30 years, banging it on eBay. Sound. No, it is good. I know the fact that...
I think someone from Steps selling a Brit Award.
Are they worth money?
So my mate, another comedian, did a story in one of his stand-up shows about... I can't remember. I think he was in either S Club 7 or Steps. There was a fella called, his name's Paul something, and he sold his Brit Award just to some guy on eBay for like 7 grand. It was like the last thing of value he had. and he had to sell
his dignity.
Yeah, but like, like the point my mate made, and I hope he doesn't mind me sort of paraphrasing his joke on this show, was like, to be the guy who bought it, imagine how evil you've got to be like, that's Paul Fingy's business about that. Why have you bought that? Because I had to. Because he had nothing else left. It was,
he
yeah.
He kept him off the streets, though.
He could have bargained him down, though, couldn't he?
Probably could have.
I'll give you five.
Maybe he did. Maybe they started at 10 and he went down to 7. Who knows?
And also, 7 is a number I plucked right out of my ass. Okay, I can't remember any of it, but yeah. People buy Brit Awards off former celebrities.
It's a bit weird, though. But the gold badges look good.
Amazing, yeah. You know, we've seen the images and what the players must have thought when they walked into the changing rooms and they saw it themselves go, actually, you know, we are champions of the world. Obviously, they've been there and done it, but to see it and then go out with pride on at Anfield and go and wear it in front of the home crowd, I think that's amazing. I don't understand why it's just one game. You know, when Bayern Munich won it or Real Madrid won it, they get to wear it for the whole season. It's, you know, it's promoting for the Premier League and promote the fact they've got the world champions in their league. I don't know why they're not promoting it more.
They should be yeah. proud of the fact that the world champions come from the Premier League.
Have we been given an explanation as to why we're not allowed?
I think it's all down to do with the fact that Manchester United didn't get allowed it when they won. So Manchester United didn't even get a game. So I think if they'd then gone to Liverpool and all that and gone, yeah, you can wear it just feels a bit slight. They made the decision, 15 years ago, give or take.
They should just change their mind and say, that was a mistake, we've rectified it.
When did
and
the
we're
Premier League
to have lots
ever
of world
admit
club?
That they've made a mistake, though,
no,
John?
Never,
I
never.
Also, with the never. Mass conspiracy theories, and there's Man City fans at the minute with, like, pin boards in the bedroom trying to, like, put a whole FA conspiracy together about why Liverpool are the favourite team of every governing body in the country. I think us getting any little bonuses like that at the minute just adds fuel to their fire, so I'm quite happy that
we
they
can
have.
Wear it in Europe, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to appeal for it for the FA Cup as well. We got to apply for it.
Yeah, it's stupid. It's just like when Everton walk around with fucking angry birds on their sleeve and we can't put a badge on to say that we're the world fucking champions. It's ridiculous. You know, it is genuinely absolutely stupid. Okay, on to the game then. It was really strong starting 11, Adam.
Boss, I've just had a quick idea there, though. We could invent a company called the FIFA World Club Cup and then just sponsor the club.
Okay.
With a gold badge.
Yeah. Maybe that fella who bought the fucking Brit Award could pay for it then because he's clearly got some fucking extra cash. Yeah. I haven't probably got that. Lallana started on the right. It looked like a 4-2-3-1 to me.
Yeah. Me and my mate were discussing this before the game in the boozer. Like, he thought Lallana was going to sit. I don't think we're ever going to see Lallana sit unless Henderson and Wijnaldum are both off the pitch. And Fabinho. I think he's like our fourth choice DM when they're all unavailable. So I expected it to be a 4-3-3 with Lallana on the right and Wijnaldum on the left of the midfield three. But it did look like he'd gone for the 4-5-1 formation yesterday. And I thought Lallana did dead well. And he looked like he had a lot of running in his legs and was determined to sort of make a claim that he maybe should be getting a bit more game time. And it's nice to see us switch the formation up as well and not completely fall apart and still have a system in place, do you know what I mean? I used to get quite worried when we played a 4-2-3-1 because under the likes of Hodgson and that's what we played and it was always a bit stagnant, but it didn't seem like that yesterday. I don't think the formation held us back. I think a tiredness held us back from being at our best. I was quite happy to see it.
I think he's got better adapting to who we're playing and how they set up. So Wolves are obviously going to like five at the back and counter-attacking football. If you've got Adam Lallana in a more attacking role, you know, he's quick with his feet, doing his Lallana turns, whatever else, he's able to unlock defences in that sense and get the ball behind. And if Wolves are on the counter-attack, well, you've got Chini and Hendo there to just break it down. Whereas like two seasons ago, I don't think he had that in his locker of adapting to what was being played in front of him. I think it's about playing your own game, obviously, when you're at Anfield, but I think you've got to look at what's in front of you as well.
My big thing is, whenever I think of, like, Adam Lallana on the right wing, I think, he's just not got enough pace. But when you're playing five at the back, John, you don't actually need that pace because you're never going to get him behind five defenders like that.
No,
you may as well get him into a little bit of space.
That's
and look
right.
To
I mean,
build.
Ross is right. The beauty of Adam Lallana is how quickly his feet move and how quickly he turns the game from one position to another. It's not really about his actual pace on the ball. It's his head probably and his feet that are the key.
He created space for Trent as well by just probably, ultimately just being another body on the right hand side like Salah has done before of having someone like Lallana. Well, Trent was on the overlap like countless times in that game. But fine.
Yeah, I must admit, like that right-hand side was the strongest part of the team for us first half. I mean, we just kept on barreling down that right-hand side, didn't we, Adam? You know, I loved Salah playing that nine again. I think he's nowhere, although he's still greedy, he doesn't feel to me as greedy when he's playing centre forward. Like he basically wants to pass it to Firmino every time to get a 1-2 on the go.
Yeah. I think it's nice to have this option to play a 4-2-3-1 and have Salah up front and switch it up when you're going to play against a team with a deep line. You're not going to have that space running behind. But I always prefer Salah out wide. I think he's better as a right winger. I think I've said that on this on your shows numerous times. But I thought he did all right yesterday. I think if he gets that goal early on, we're talking about another great performance where, you know, he scored a proper striker's goal and he only just, it's a millimetres, like, the difference in where it needs to hit his foot. I thought he did all right there. And Firmino in the 10 is fine. But again, you want him to have the space of a 9 and a 10, really, in most games. Against five at the back teams who we want a bit of space in between the lines, I think this is a good formation to have as an option, but I'm quite looking forward to seeing us getting back to 4-3-3 as soon as possible.
What about going back onto Lallana, John? Has he had a bad game for us this season?
No, don't think so. We had conversations at the start of the season about how, my God, they're thinking of playing him as a DM and thinking how stupid that would be. And even when he did that job, he did it pretty well, didn't he?
Because Everton was one of the games he did against, wasn't he?
Now he's fit. I mean, although he got injured again yesterday, didn't he? Now he's fit. He's the energy he puts into the game. He always speeds the game up for me. And I think the way we play our best football is at pace. So he's perfect for us. So, you know, he's shown time and again that, you know, he's worth a shot.
And he gets an assist.
He's been managed properly, isn't he? Yeah. That's part of the problem. I think everyone has got this expectancy of having Lallana from previous years. And, you know, he's formed a dip because of his injuries. But, like, his attitude and his application of coming in and knowing he's a squad player now and what he's like off the field with the other players, he could have just gone, well, I can't be asked this, I'm going to get off. But he's got that maturity that comes in and go, you go and do a job now. But I trust him to go and do it, whether it's a six or whatever, which he was doing in pre-season. I'll just come and do a job. I don't expect him to see him at Sheffield United or possibly Everton. He'll probably play Everton. But, like, I'm fine with that. If he comes in, I'm fine. Last season when he came against Burnley, everyone's there, fell off and he put in a good performance. Everyone's like, fucking hell. He didn't play the next game and everyone's like, why is he not starting? He's got a role as a rotation player, which we need with all these games.
Well, with Ox injured, if you want to rest Keita at the moment and Shaqiri's injured, then where are you going but Adam Lallana? And as we said, he did a good job.
I thought he was brilliant. I think he's been really good all season long and he's at that point now where I'm like, does he, you know, you naturally start to think about next season and stuff and whether he's going to be here. I'd absolutely keep him around if he's willing to stay. You know, and I know we've got Milner who can play that role as well, but Milner's not starting games. It doesn't feel like he's starting many games in midfield
anymore. Well,
Milner's
34 this week, isn't he?
But he's just signed a 2-year deal, hasn't he?
Oh, no, but he's going to be there and he's going to play. But obviously he's going to play less and less, I would have thought. And, you know, Adam Lallana's going to slip into that old guy role that maybe Milner's got around the club, you know.
I think Lallana could have an absolute world the other second half of the season, and I still think he's going to be given a handshake and a pat on the back, and he's going to leave at the end of the season. And I also think that that's the right thing to do. I think, although he is a nice option to have when he's fit, he's very rarely fit. And even if he lasts till the end of the season, something will come up early next season, and I think it's now, it's time to sort of drain every last bit of usage out of him that we can for the period of his contract and then let him go and find a mid-table club where he can finish his career and look like a really good player and play literally every time he's fit then.
I think the opposite of that. I'd absolutely have him around because I think you lessen the chance of injury. Like, I don't know if you're a mid-table side that you want an Adam Lallana because...
Can't play every game.
He can't play every game. He might be good for a few weeks, but if he's playing in the middle of the park every single game, I just think he misses a third of the season, guaranteed. I can't imagine many.
I remember Julia as well getting rid of all our experienced players and bringing in brand new ones, and it was a total disaster. you really need to keep hold of some of these guys, you know, even if they're not playing every week, they're playing the odd game here and there, just to have that experience at the club, you know.
It's car shares with Hendo, you know what I mean?
Hendo's going nowhere, and Milner's experience is there now.
You don't want to tire him out by making him drive every day to work. He has a day off.
Sign a new centre mid who can share the drive and buy him a house next door to
Jordan. The best mate. They take the kids go to the same school. They
send them to Everton then.
Send them to Lana to Everton. Just look at Lana to Everton. They don't train at Everton.
I expect there to be a couple of incomings this summer. And there's going to have to be a couple of players that are playing game time at the minute that make room for that, and I expect Lallana to be one of them.
That's fair enough. Another midfielder. It was very noticeable to me that Wijnaldum lost the ball at one point during the game, and I can honestly say that's probably the first time I've noticed him do it all season long. that lad just, he's so underrated. He very rarely gives the ball away. He seems to win the ball back more than any other player right now. And for me, I'd even go he's one of the first three names on the team sheet if he's fit.
Yeah, it's his energy that he brings. And, you know, he's much like Henderson of two seasons ago, where like he just got loads of shit for like doing like a dogged, dirty job of just winning the ball back and recycling play, because that's all that he does. But that's his role within the side. He doesn't need to do anything. You know, he's not known for long passing or, you know, through balls or anything like that. He doesn't need to be. You just go and win the ball back, be dogged and move it on. That's all that he needs to do. Stick his arse out, win the ball back. No one's getting near that ball once he does that. And it's sound.
Yeah. He's a player you want to keep well into his 30s, Wijnaldum, because he's so versatile. Like, the role he plays for us is so far removed from what he plays for Holland. They're completely, you'd think that not one player would be able to do both of these things. He's playing the Kante role for us, which is get off that ball, short pass, and shut up and leave it alone. And then he's playing a Nabil Fekir role for Holland and scoring worldies every time he plays. A player's not supposed to have both things in his wheelhouse. I'd keep him for a long time. I think he will be a long-term replacement for James Milner, is someone who can sort of play almost any position. He's played almost every position for Liverpool, and I love him. I hope he goes nowhere for a very, very, very long time. I think I agree with you. I want him on the team sheet as soon as he's...
I'm afraid we're about 15 minutes into the show, so we've got to talk about VAR, which is the one topic that I probably didn't want to talk about, but absolutely needs a little chat about. John, Liverpool were correctly awarded a goal. Had Anthony Taylor blown his whistle half a second earlier, VAR wouldn't have been able to correctly give the goal. What the fuck's that about?
VAR. Who thought it was such a funny thing? I laughed my socks off. I just thought it was hilarious that he tried to deny us a goal, and then found he couldn't, and then he tried to give them a goal and found he couldn't. He's the worst referee. He is the most incompetent. He's either the most biased referee against us, or he's the most incompetent referee I've ever seen. He's absolutely useless.
Just so happens to be.
I couldn't think of anything better than the sight of Wolves players berating him and giving him a really bad time for giving them two decisions and having VAR wipe them out. And he couldn't do anything about it.
He wanted to give them the decision. He literally tried to
give
them both
decisions.
They
were giving him such a bad time because VAR had cancelled the decisions out. And it had nothing to do with him. He was desperate to give him the other way.
Is this a problem with VAR? It looked to me like VAR got both decisions right.
VAR is perfect for the goal, for seeing that an injustice had been done and correcting it. The offside is where it's coming into disrepute. And I went down to the concourse and saw the decisions on the telly. And as soon as I saw the offside, I knew it was offside because I judge it now by the Bobby's armpit rule. And I thought, he's offside. He doesn't look a bit offside, but he's definitely got something over that line, and that'll count. And that's what it's how daft it is.
VAR is not the problem. The offside rule is the problem.
Yeah.
And I was saying, for the past few weeks, I would like to see a daylight rule. Basically, the exact opposite of what we've got now, which is if there's a millimetre of you onside, you're onside. Because then we'll see more goals, and Fussy's best with more goals in, as far as I'm concerned.
That's what Graeme Souness was saying, actually, on Sky, and I thought it was really good. What he was saying is, like, if there is any part of your body that is onside, it is onside.
I think it should just be feet.
I think feet
if
as well.
If your feet
personally.
Are behind the line, you're onside.
But then yesterday, he'd have been offside, which seems...
Fine. You've got to draw a line somewhere. You'd either draw the line at daylight, sorry Ross, you'd either draw the line at daylight, you draw the line at his feet, or you draw the line at an armpit. Somewhere along the line, there is a line being drawn.
The problem is you can't change it now, halfway through the season, but then again, like Crouch tweeted the other week, like, he'd have been offside for everything. You're going to punish someone for having bigger feet than someone else. And also, Souness has counteracted himself because he said, you can't be a little bit pregnant, so you can't be a little bit offside. You're either offside or you're not.
The way it is now.
The way it is now. Yeah, I think the law needs to change, but also VAR has just highlighted how terrible the referees are in this country. And how they can't run it. And I think Conor Cody's post-match thing was excellent yesterday. I was saying there's no communication between the players and the referees about what's going on. They haven't updated the players since the start of the season, what's going on with VAR, why they make decisions and stuff. I think there's a little bit more understanding if they talk about it.
I wouldn't want to support referees, but there's no referee in the world could tell you that was offside yesterday. No. On the decision, the way the decision was made, not a referee in the world could have seen that.
No.
So you have to have something that's... A referee has a chance of getting right.
Yeah.
So it has to be something like feet or daylight or, you know, something that's obvious to a referee. You can't be millimetres or the guy's armpit. It's just stupid.
And the most important thing about yesterday is, like, obviously, I'm enjoying and also getting a bit sort of annoyed at the exact same time. And it's a really weird emotion for me at the whole Twitterverse of rival fans. Their heads completely fallen off, that it looks like Liverpool are going to go on to do the unspeakable thing. And everyone's got a different theory as to why we're doing it. Either we're just all right and everyone else is dog shit, or we've got the whole of the FA and the Premier League in our back pockets and everyone's corrupt, or we're all injecting steroids, and everyone's got their own theory. And the fact there's so many different theories means it's probably none of them, and that we're actually just dead good at footy. But people kicking off that VAR was brought in to do whatever and to help Liverpool... Both decisions were right. The problem's not the VAR, it's the rule.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm just repeating everything that every pundit on Sky says every week, because I am, because it's just getting tedious now. We're going to have this till the end of the season. No matter what, till the end of this season, not one rule can change, because we can't have a goal given in a game that wouldn't have been given in another game, because then it affects the whole competition. We can't change it till the end of the year.
I don't know if that's right, personally, because...
But if you're Wolves, would you not be pissed off if the rules then got changed next week?
Yeah, but at least if they're right, they're right.
You can't change the rule
after a competition. No, but you can change the application of the rule. As in, a referee in the first minute of a game with a big tackle is probably not going to bring a yellow card out. But 50 minutes in, the same tackle is probably going to get a yellow card, because he wants to keep the flow of the game going early on, and he gets to manage the game in the way that he wants to manage the game. Referees have that ability to be able to do that throughout a game, where they make decisions. Now, it's a little bit tougher because of the sort of black and white nature of the offside line, but I still think you can apply it slightly differently.
I don't think you can change how it's applied at all for the rest of the season. Because, like, let's say from now till the end of the season, Liverpool don't score a single goal where it's a marginal offside, and we win our games without anything like that. And then every week, City are having goals ruled out, or teams against City are getting them given because the offside rule has changed. Then the whole narrative becomes...
Well, the offside rule doesn't need to change. Well, I'm trying, so for example, the VAR, the line is it a clear and obvious error?
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home.
Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But it's not, is it? Like, well, that hasn't been the way it's applied.
Exactly, but you can apply it that way. That's
you can't anymore,
why,
though.
Why they did it for a weekend, where they changed all the results for one weekend, got berated for it, and then reversed it back. They've already done it. They've already set
what
the
rest. They can't do it. What I would do till the end of the season is say, you're not going to use it on offside decisions. Leave it to the referee.
Just stop it.
Leave it to the referee. Whatever decision the referee makes stands.
There'll be an uproar if that happens. And in my opinion, and rightly so.
You
wouldn't necessarily know, would you? They could just say quietly, we're not doing offside decisions. Because there's no one in the world would have told you yesterday that Wolves' goal was offside, because I didn't know it was offside. And even looking at it, I didn't know it was offside. So no one will know.
Can you imagine if City get beat 3-2 next week and all three goals are all offside because they've decided it? Like, we can laugh and it'd be funny, but it does make a mockery of the league then, because then they go, none of those goals should have stood. That's another way.
But who's going to tell anyone?
But why has it even been implemented?
Sky'll set their own VAR things and Match of the Day will do it. Nothing can change till the end of the season.
But like, Sky do they? They looked at it yesterday and they didn't think it was, you know, a right decision.
Well, even the one where our goal was given. Right, first of all, that's a clear shoulder. There's no issue there. That's Anthony Taylor being a dickhead.
Yeah.
And he shouldn't have blown the whistle as early as he did, because he nearly cost us a goal by blowing it early. Because VAR can always check it if the goal's been given. If the whistle's blown before it crosses the line, VAR couldn't have checked it. Wouldn't have had any power to check it.
Why is he even trying to give it anyway? Because if he's handballed it, VAR are going to give it anyway.
Yeah, well, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, he's obviously seen it. It must be a natural reaction to just put your whistle to your mouth. That's the only thing I can think of. But he's been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the first season, so maybe it just came naturally to him in this one instance. I don't know. I'm not saying one way or the other. But, you know, when you look at that, when it then goes down the other end, even Sky don't know what they're looking at.
No.
Because they're seeing the VAR stuff. They didn't know they were looking at the whistle.
I mean, VAR should be there, and I'd accept it, if it's only there to stop there being horrendous injustices. You know, like the ball hitting the stanchion in the back of the goal and bouncing out and not being given. A handball not being, you know, given or not given. They're clear, you can see them. But the offside thing is just stupid. Why would you go down that route? You're just making a rod for your own back. Because there's every single person in the world will have a different view about whether it's offside or it's not. I thought that they should have given it offside because of the guy in the middle who was offside like about 10 yards.
But wasn't
he
involved in play.
I'd leave the offside thing alone. Just say we're not touching it anymore.
There's something that Gary Lineker keeps bringing up as well, which I think is not, apart from him, no one's given any attention, which is you can't tell when the ball's being played.
Yeah.
And if a player's running at 20 miles an hour, like the difference of a nanosecond can be a yard. It's an imperfect technology, and the advantage has got to be given to the attacker, but it's not going to be this season, and it can't be this season now.
But even if it was to, all right, let's say park it next season, what did they do?
Daylight.
Nothing daylight's too much, isn't it?
I'd do what I said. I would stop them using VAR and offsides, leave it to the referees and the lines.
I don't see that happening.
I can't imagine they go backwards like that. I think what you said before was right. I personally think it's defeat, because you're not doing A-level fucking geometry to work out where the line is. If the feet are generally speaking on the floor, there you've got your line on the floor already for you. And if their head is over the line, if the shoulder's over the line, I'm not asked, because what I like is defenders are always going that way while attackers are going that way, which is why they're always armpits offside, because their body is flowing towards the goal. If the feet are fine, they're onside as far as I'm concerned. There's no geometry. Just give
because
them
if you, I mean, I think it was Ian Wright last night, watched Match of the Day, saying if you bend in your run, your body is automatically in that kind of a position, isn't it? So, I mean, it's very unfair on forwards to give armpits and all the rest of it as offside.
But it's got to be something. It's got to be, you know.
For me, if there's no part of your body ahead of the defender, then you're not offside. I mean, in terms of your feet, I'm talking about, you know. And that shouldn't be that difficult to sort out. But
For me, the thing to do, which won't happen, is to get rid of VAR completely and just go back to what we had last year. And you know what? Sometimes refs get things wrong. They get things wrong a couple of times a game.
Sometimes video assistant refs get things wrong.
Yeah, just let them get some stuff wrong like they always have, and everything was fine. And it just meant you had more stuff to argue about down the pub.
I'd import people from other leagues. There's another clip doing the rounds now from Australia where they've mic'd up the referee. Like, so the people who are watching on the telly know what's going on. I know you can't help but what's going on in the stands, but at least you've got some sort of knowledge of what's going on. But they communicate with each other so much better than what's going on in our leagues, and they get these decisions right.
There's also respect for the referees there.
Yeah, exactly. So you've seen from that as well.
They do it in rugby, don't they? Yeah. They do it in American football.
The players can't argue. Like, Conor Cody yesterday said he was asking questions. The referee's going, don't know, go away. Well, that's not helpful to anyone, is it? No.
But that's the thing, the Premier League have always been shit scared of making a ref up because they don't know what the players are going to say. Because you know that the players are swearing at them, because every single player who's on the pitch does this whenever they're talking to the referee. So you know they're giving them shit and they're not allowed to, the kids won't be allowed to watch that. You make up the referee, it takes one player to get a ban or a fine for swearing at the referee, and that problem's done and dusted with. Yep. And then you do exactly what they've been doing it in the A-League for at least 2 or 3 years now, where the refs have been mic'd up and they go over and you can hear what the video assistant referee's saying. I'm showing you this is what, and you make the decision, but I think I'd recommend that this is offside. Okay, sound, no problem. Video assistant referee says that this is offside. The crowd hear it, everybody watching hears it, and you just move on.
Just
and that's fine, you know what I mean?
You just need to bin it, because it's just not, it's not done what it was meant to do.
I'm definitely in favour of binning it, but if you're going to keep it, then I'd save it just for those things like handballs and, you know, clear decisions that are, you know, clearly offside, or
but also,
not clearly offside, but clearly a mistake.
Did anyone see Rory Smith's article in the New York Times about it all and that? He's like, first off, stop calling them fucking laws. Laws are they're just rules, and they're supposed to be played in the spirit of the game. You know what I mean? They're not like these black and white things that happen. It's just like there's got to be a little bit of give, because it's a human sport and there's referees in the middle of it. They're not computers. You can't, nothing's binary during a game of football. So stop treating it like the rules of the game are binary. You know what I mean? It's baffling. It's a really good article, actually, Rory Smith's one. I'd definitely recommend going to read it. Just out of interest, would anyone rather have Wolves' goal just been given?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here. You?
At the time, no. I was really pleased that it didn't work off. But, I mean, the thing about VAR, we've just discussed it for 10 minutes. We haven't discussed how well Wolves played and how much energy they put into a game two days after they played bloody City. I mean...
They're on the juice, mate. You know, Wolves are on the juice. Quite clear.
Traore definitely is. Bloody hell, he's a monster.
They got wound up by the VAR decision, didn't they? They used it to fuel their energy, and they came out at half time and warmed up again and all that stuff. You know, and clearly took the initiative in the second half.
So actually, before we move on then, Conor Cody, you mentioned it, some of the stuff that he said. We feel massively hard done by and I can't get my head around it. For me, it is not working. Some people are saying it gets the right decision, but we're the players on the pitch and it doesn't feel right to me. It is still confusing. I can't get my head around it. You don't get answers on the pitch. Anthony Taylor is great to speak to, but I ask a question, I don't get an answer. We thought Van Dijk handballed it, but the referee tells me Van Dijk is too far away. He played the pass. VAR is affecting the game. You can hear the fans singing about it. It is so disappointing that we stood here talking about VAR rather than the game, the way Wolves played. That's exactly what you've just said there. And I was really interested.
Van Dijk didn't handball it, by the way.
No. But so. he did say, I think he did, but... And there's, if the referee didn't know, he didn't handball it and said he's too far away, that's bullshit.
The ref says, we watched it back, he wasn't handball. You can't argue with that. But he's just gone, I don't know. So he should be pissed off. And that's again what it's what it highlights how poor the refereeing standards are in this country.
Yeah, but if the referee doesn't see it, he doesn't see it. So, no,
but
you know,
they've got the VAR people that can look back at that. And
when he's asked himself,
okay, yeah, yeah.
You know, did you see him on ball? He says, no, I didn't. I'm playing the game. You know, and that's what referees do. Mm. They don't see everything, but, you know.
But this is the, like, even like, going back to like the fella who's the assistant referee who's looking at offside, I don't know how you're supposed to look in two different places. One, when the ball's being played by Van Dijk on the edge of our area and at a line of a forward, you can't possibly see when the ball was played to make a decision. Mm. So why are you asking someone to do that in the first instance?
I mean, there was one incident yesterday where there was a clear handball by one of their players and it ended up with them getting a corner. And my brother said to me, it doesn't matter because if they score the corner, VAR will then look at it and give the handball. I don't know whether that's true or
not before the corner.
You know, that's the way the game is going. It doesn't really matter anymore whether a ref gets a decision wrong or he gets it right. Everyone is thinking, oh, VAR will just sort all that out. And it doesn't work.
And we move on into the second half anyway. As you mentioned, John, Wolves came out and fueled the fire, didn't it? Their anger, and they were so much better second half, and they didn't look like a side who had played 2 days earlier. I know they made a few changes and stuff, but they looked really good second half, and you know they only had two shots on target in the entire game. They really did worry us second half, didn't they?
Yeah, I think like their game plan was pretty clear, like trying to keep it as close as possible in the first half, playing five at the back and then counter attack. I think they were just dead pissed off with all the decisions. Obviously Santo gets booked it just before half time as well. I think it's probably a bit of injustice of saying, oh, well, we're still in this game, we need to go for it. It wasn't a case of damage limitation, it was like probably belief. And to come off the back of beating City as well, well, why shouldn't they believe themselves and what they're capable of doing? I think it was tiredness on our behalf as well.
I hadn't realised they'd got eight games, away games, without losing, hadn't they? Which is quite a
really
good
amount.
And the only time they'd not scored in an away game was in the first game of the season. So, you know, they're a much better side, you know, than a lot of people think.
I think they've had the longest season as well, haven't they? Because they started Europa League football in
July.
We were just finishing the Champions League and they were starting there.
When Burnley were in the Europa, it destroyed them that season. But Wolves actually look battle-hardened now. They look like a really tough team.
Wolves are just a proper, proper side.
I think we're playing them again. Sorry, Adam, we're going to play them again in about 3 weeks, aren't we? So
yeah,
at their ground,
not,
that's going to be
like
a tough game, though.
The 29th of January, I think, maybe, something like that.
Like, Nuno Espirito Santo is quite clearly a very, very, very good manager. I think the likes of Arsenal would have been better going for him than Arteta, personally. And maybe in a year, I'll become a meme when Arsenal are at third or whatever, because they're doing well. But I think Wolves are a proper, proper good side, and they've got some really, really good players that wouldn't look out of place in the big six teams. I seen Paul say last night on Twitter that Conor Cody would be a good signing for Liverpool.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. To have as an option, you know, he's not necessarily going to come in and play every game because he's behind the likes of Gomez and whatever, but he could come into this squad and play 15, 20 Premier League games a year at centre-back because we have so many injury problems with our centre-backs. He's a proper leader, a good player. They've got so many good midfielders, and that's probably the hardest game we've had this season so far. Last night, I think that's up there with the in the league.
Yeah. Like when you consider that they rested their top players, you know, Jimenez doesn't play, Traore doesn't play, and there was a couple of others as well, wasn't there? When you consider that and how many games they've played, and it's at the end of the Christmas period, I think you're probably right. And it was at Anfield. And we didn't look absolutely brilliant.
I also, on another note on their players, Adama Traore, if there was any chance of us going in for him, I think he's perfect backup for the likes of Trent. We haven't got really an attacking, pacey right-back as an option. Our second right-back is a centre-back, isn't it? It's Joe Gomez. Who hasn't quite got the ability that Trent's got.
So you'd use him, instead of being a right winger, you'd use him as a right back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because he's played right wing and right wing back his whole career. And Trent is a right wing back, isn't he? The way we play, he's a wing back.
Yeah.
He's got defensive responsibilities, but his primary purpose in the team is to be a creative force. And I'd love to see Adam as
we dealt with him really well, though, when he came on, John, didn't we? In fact,
so
we dealt with him
had to switch.
Exactly. And then we looked a little bit, you know, Trent looked a little bit on his heels about it all, but all told, he didn't really do too much. He had that one shot, didn't he, where he hit it over the bar, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think we did cope with him very well. I think we knew what to do about him. I think you saw as soon as he came on that Mané and Wijnaldum were both giving cover to Robertson whenever he got the ball. So,
and we did, I mean, I think we probably trained for that more so than what they did. I think, but
yeah, it says a lot about the guy, though, doesn't it? That we actually went out of our way to work out a system to stop him. You know, so.
I think I said it in the build-up show, but I had a feeling Wolves might rest just on the fact that I think everybody thinks they're going to lose anyway. So they may as well rest the players in the game that they're guaranteed to lose. And I wonder whether they were wrong
players
to do
that. A lot. The teams do that a lot these days, don't they? They play us or City and they rest players knowing that they've got a game at the weekend they'd rather win.
Yeah, you know? Which is mad because I think Wolves would have given us a really serious
problem.
Could have
won if they'd played. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, Keita comes on as well. What did everyone think of him?
Sound. Probably not the standout as he has been when he started, but I think he comes in, and again, like Adam Lallana, he comes in and does a job. He saw the ball well, I think, towards the end, last 20 minutes, having that grit and determination. And, you know, he's got a bit of needle about him, Keita, hasn't he? I think that was needed. I think Wolves were getting really pissed off and there was tackles flying left, right and centre. But I think he shielded the ball well and gave support to Trent, which was required at the right time.
And Adam van Dijk made a mistake?
Yeah,
he did.
Were you surprised?
Very surprised, and the fact that we even bring that up like that just shows who he is, isn't it? And I think what was really cool was a couple of minutes later, he does, I can't even remember what it was, it was just a little like no-look pass to Henderson, and it was so calm that it just made me just relax, because I was like, if that was another centre-back, I'm not going to name names, but if he makes that mistake,
another
the rest of the game...
Degsy.
No. God, yes. if he makes that mistake, the rest of the game, he's a bit nervous and he's worried what to do. Van Dijk just goes, fucking stays what I did there.
The trouble with it is that it looks like if he makes a mistake, we can see the goal. Because except for Alisson, that would have been in the net, wouldn't it? I mean, it was a really good save from Alisson.
Gomez paid him as well. Someone got in behind and Gomez had to make a last ditch.
Oh, that was early on in the game, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Because, the comments were like, it's normally the other way around. I was thinking, that's a bit unfair. I've not actually seen Van Dijk bail Gomez out recently.
No. The last time I saw Van Dijk make a really bad mistake was the away City game, in the Champions League. And they did score from it, didn't they? That was really early on. And that didn't affect his game at all. So, you know.
It affected my... You know,
heart rate,
big time. I think I lost a few years that game. That was the most nervous game I've ever been a part of. Been to like that was the,
City
that
away.
Was fucking horrendous that game. But also one of the best that I've ever been to for going on and winning that game 2-1 on Otamendi. Thank you very much, Firmino pickpocketed and we went on and won the game. Okay, result is all that matters. Weekend roundup. There's not loads of games that want to talk about. But John, the Chelsea Arsenal game was a little bit unfair on Arsenal, but also typically Arsenal.
It was typically Arsenal. I don't know whether you can say that anymore. I don't know what the hell Arsenal are anymore. They're not what they were, are they? You know, they play some nice football, got some good players, but they seem all over the place. I mean, how can you have the forwards that they've got and not score any goals? It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, Aubameyang scored a really good header. And I thought, well, they're going to go on and win this. Chelsea have, you know, they're going downhill, Chelsea, rapidly. And then they just threw it away, just hopeless.
I just don't think Arsenal are a team, are they? No. You know, look at what Liverpool, compared to Liverpool, which, you know, is probably not fair to them at the minute, but the unity that they've got and the belief in each other they've got, I just don't think it's there at Arsenal at all. You're right, the three amazing forwards that they've got, but the rest of them, like...
Well, I think they used to use Xhaka when he first came as a bit of a bully in midfield and to give him a bit of solidity. And, of course, everyone hates his guts now. And even if he just gets on the pitch, they don't like him and he doesn't play very well.
He's leading,
so they've got no leadership there at all, have they?
I might get burned for this, but I think Mikel Arteta is an absolutely dreadful appointment for Arsenal at this point in time. I think there's so many problems there within the team and above the team. Like... The fact they didn't end up with Ancelotti who could...
Sorry, can we give him his full title of Carlo Fantastico?
Mr. Carlo Fantastico, Mr. Magnifico, and Giovanni. That's his full title, actually. There's two misters, one on the start and one in the middle. Mad. The Everton official Twitter said, "Welcome, Mr. Ancelotti." Like, Mr. Anyway.
You work for us. You literally work for us.
Oh, but I don't know how he didn't end up there, because Arsenal are so bad defensively. Yeah. Mustafi for Chelsea's second goal, he stood in his own six-yard box. And when I say stood, I mean stood. And the ball's moving and he's stood still, doing absolutely fuck all. They need someone... I know Arteta's learned his trade under Guardiola, but Guardiola is a fantastic manager, although I like taking the mic as often as possible at the minute. But he's also, he does rely on being able to sign the best players in the world and go, right, here's my system, and with an unlimited checkbook, I can really make this work and make this look absolutely flawless. We can look like one of the best teams of all time. He's not Guardiola, and he's not going to get that back in at Arsenal. And they need a completely new team. Their best players need to leave because they're toxic for the club. It's a similar situation with Pogba at United. He's their best player, but they need to get rid of him so they can move on. Arsenal probably need to get rid of Aubameyang.
And Ozil.
And Xhaka needs to go. And Mustafi, who's one of the most experienced players. And they all need to go. And I think this needed a proper experienced manager to come in and oversee a complete change from the top to the bottom of the team, and then there needs to be changes higher up in the club.
It's like they've said, we've got no defenders and we like to play the ball even at the back. And Arteta's schooled under Guardiola, who's perfect at that. He loves doing that. So we'll bring him in and he'll get all our players playing lovely football, forgetting the fact that they've still got no defence worth a carrot and the whole team is a mess.
But what I can't understand is, and it seems like it's every team that's in transition, and Liverpool have been through this, it's the flip-flopping. It's, well, we need to get someone really experienced in, Emre. Okay, well, that didn't work. Well, we'll just do the complete opposite. We'll get a man who's never managed a football club before. Everton have done it. You know, they go from David Moyes, they go to Martinez, they go then, I don't know what the order of the manager, but they get fucking Sam Allardyce in at some point. You know,
Sam Allardyce would have been a better, more logical appointment than Mikel Arteta.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's stabilised, wouldn't
he? He'd at least go, right, we're going to play five at the back and a defensive midfielder until you all stop conceding two and three goals a game.
But then you got Manchester United, who had the most successful manager in the world, and replaced him with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I mean, that's just fucking stupid. You know what I mean? They're all just doing that because they're so far behind, they're just rolling the dice right now. Because I think they thought that City were probably going to win the league for the next 4 or 5 years, regardless of what was going on. So let's just use these 4 or 5 years to try and get ourselves good.
But even for Arsenal to look around and go, well, Everton have got Ancelotti, but like what we just spoke about Wolves of how good they are. Leicester, like they're going to fall even further behind under Arteta. Get they needed to do a transition. But the chances of coming back and to scale what Leicester and Wolves are doing, it's going to take them even longer to catch up with everyone else.
Good.
Oh, yeah, no.
They're all just fucking idiots. I can't understand.
They're 6 points above the relegation zone, and their next game is Man United. And United, I mean, whisper it, but they're in good form. I expect United to beat Arsenal. Arsenal, after the next match day, could be 3 points above the drop. Like, over halfway through the season. And now they've got a manager who has never, ever, ever managed a football team, and has certainly never managed a football team in a relegation scrap. And I know that seems like hyperbole to say Arsenal, they're in a relegation scrap if they lose their next two games.
And also, like, I can understand it when you go to someone like a Frank Lampard, you're a legend of the club. Now, Arsenal fans might tell me differently. They might tell me Arteta's a legend, but I'm pretty certain he came in after they'd won league titles. Like, he wasn't part of those sides.
He also spent longer at Everton, didn't he?
Yeah,
he did
so, like, he's not a guy who even won trophies during his career that I can think of.
He won two FA Cups there.
Yeah, you know,
that's it.
It's not...
And Lampard's had a year managing a club.
Yeah.
As well. It's like, I've been talking to my mates about, like, when Klopp goes, who's going to take over. And it's going to be either Pep Linders or Steven Gerrard.
Or Vladimir Smica.
Or Vladimir Smita, yeah. He's the rumoured number three target. But which, if Gerrard comes in, I think there'll be a few Liverpool fans that are a bit like, hang on, this is dangerous, this. But at least he's going to have had five years managing a football club, and he gets to come back to the club he loves. And he's doing all right at Rangers, by the way. I don't know how many people are keeping an eye on the SPL.
Well, they just won the old firm.
They win the game in hand, then they're top level of the league. Yeah. They're 2 points behind them, and they win the game in hand.
I just remember the last time we had a captain who went and managed Rangers and came back to manage.
Oh, Souness. Yeah. Won the FA Cup, though, in 92, John.
Yeah, just after a heart attack, wasn't it? I remember. Yeah, I was there.
And he had to rebuild the squad. Yeah. Which is a possibility.
Which he did by, first of all, coming and selling the best left-back in the world to West Brom or someone stupid, or Villa. The man was...
That Staunton he's talking about?
Yeah.
Was he the best left-back in the world?
Yeah, he was phenomenal as a kid. He was absolutely brilliant. And we kept David Burrows instead.
Yeah, I remember David Burrows.
But anyway, I think you need to be wary of how good the Scottish League is. You know, it's not winning up there is nothing like
the problem is if Rodgers does well at Leicester and continues to do well, that might taint people's view of the Scottish League a little bit. Yeah, there,
they won't do that well, Leicester,
over the course of 3 years.
No, I've had a look at them now. I'm thinking, well, you know, they're probably the best of a bad bunch. Below Liverpool and City, the rest of them are a load of dross.
I actually think Leicester are going to finish second. I think they're a really good team.
I think they'll finish third.
I don't think they've got squad depth. I think that's part of their problem. I think they are a really, really good side. But
they just rested most of their team and beat West Ham away, though. And I know that's not...
But they didn't rotate and got dicked out 4-0.
I know, but...
They're also playing the best in the world.
Okay. Like, it was the best game.
Give them something.
Probably our best performance of the season. And we're the best team on the planet, so... They're still going to lose games. And they were in it for a long period. It was 1-0 for a long time.
And Vardy won't be there for too long. He was 33 now, isn't he? So once he stops scoring goals for them...
Is he 33? He's 33.
It's mad how good
quick,
he is.
Isn't he?
Mad how good he is for the age.
He's so underrated.
Because he's retired from England as well now, hasn't he? So he gets a few weeks off every now and again. Well, there you go. That has been the final word show. We're going to crack on with the final, the Uncensored Match build-up show. Before we go, though, Adam, you've got a new tour. Where can they get tickets, mate?
adamrowe.co.uk/shows. Going pretty much all over every major city in the country I'm coming to. And we've just added the Liverpool date on Thursday, the 20th of February, I think. But everything's on adamrowe.co.uk/shows.
And you've got a new podcast?
Yeah, that starts on Friday the 10th of January. It's called Have a Word. It's on all podcast platforms, and if you get me on social media, you'll be able to, I'll be tweeting non-stop about that once it starts.
Okay, brilliant. Well, there you go. Thank you very much for joining me. If you liked it, don't forget to like the video. Please like the video. It does help us. Leave a comment, your thoughts and all that, and we'll see you next time on the Red Men TV. It's all right.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.